Welcome to this January 2019 Parkinson's Recovery Support Group gathering. Thank you so much for connecting in and being with us today. We are launching the new year, 2019. As is our custom in our support group gatherings, I'm going to provide a brief overview of updates at Parkinson's Recovery. I'm going to then read and respond to the questions that you have sent through in your emails and provide what I've been able to determine would be hopefully some very helpful responses and suggestions. Those of you who've called in, if you want to and have any additional comments, suggestions, or experiences that you want to share, if not by talking with me here later, please type them into the chat room. I've got that open right now, and I'll be able to see whatever you write. If you've got questions, I'll read them and do the best I can to answer them. This month, January 2019, I have focused my energy on supporting developing the course materials for two courses in particular. The courses that I have been offering are Giant Leap for Recovery in 14 Small Steps. That's an ongoing course, and I know some of you are participating in that. And I've also been developing and presenting materials for my new course, Rock Solid Walking. So as you can well imagine, to be able to respond to the kinds of concerns and questions that you have, it takes quite a bit of me, my time and effort to develop the course materials for both of those courses. The good news is, too, that I'm supporting and developing and will be offering a brand new course here in several weeks in February. The course title is Shut Down Anxiety. As a result of having quite a few questions from individuals who were former participants in my courses who ask, what can I do about releasing traumas, I decided it was time to be able to formalize some very specific suggestions for how you can make that happen. I provided some pretty succinct, short, and perhaps not even that helpful responses when asked that question, and I thought it's time for me to be able to provide the sustained support that you need in order to be able to really figure out what you need to do, the steps that would be needed and required to be able to have a sustained ability to release whatever traumas you might have experienced over the course of your life, whether they might have been physical or mental or emotional, doesn't really matter. They're all going to result in aggravating whatever symptoms that you actually experience. And of course, I'm sure as most of you realize, the purpose of that is once anxiety gets under control, once you shut it down, you will see a remarkable relief of symptoms. I think it's important, too, that I develop all of this material for those of you who have been taking medicines for quite a while. You're at the maximum of what you can take, and so you're kind of at the point where asking, well, what can I do now? Well, I think reducing anxiety attacks and anxiety and finding ways to creatively be able to address the problems of the stresses of our daily lives will really make a sustained and long-term difference. The course also is one that includes the free bonus of the Halt Anxiety. In that book, I've got a number of great techniques that provide pretty quick relief from anxiety. The course has a bit of a different focus, so I'm not going to really be dwelling on the techniques and Halt Anxiety. What I'm going to do is to emphasize the kind of therapies, techniques, and methods that will enable you to celebrate a sustained release of whatever traumas that you've actually experienced. When we have traumas, they really do get embedded to the cellular level, so it's time to be able to just acknowledge, okay, let me see what I can do to release those so they're no longer holding back the success of my recovery program. The second announcement I've got is that when I announced the results of the Parkinson's Recovery Holiday Survey, some of you might have heard the news that the CBD was one that was surprisingly frequently reported to be useful to those of you who tried it. Now, I know a number of you have not tried it, but for those of you who have, there are reports that it's been helpful. Now, again, not to everyone by any means, but to many of you. Now, What I've been working on is the problem that if you decide that you want to begin to take CBD on a regular basis, I think the challenge is it's costly. It's going to cost some money every single month to be able to do that. And if you need quite a few drops, some of you don't need very many, but some of you do, then the cost can be pretty pricey. So the announcement that I want to pass on is the company that I have found that has high quality, it's organic kind of material, they're reputable, they have the best prices I've been able to see, has developed a new product, and I just want you to know about that for those of you who are taking CBD oil. It's a brand new product. They're the only ones in the industry that apparently have developed this. It's a water-soluble CBD oil. Now, it's not that that winds up being the reason why I want you to know about it. The reason is that it has 10 times the penetration of the oils that you would have been taking previously. So what's the big deal? Well, the big deal, I think, and again, I say I want to emphasize very loudly, I think, I predict, my intuition says, notice I don't have any real evidence for this because it's a brand new kind of a product, that you'll be able to reduce the number of drops that you take of this new CBD oil. It's called 10X Pure Spectrum from this company called CTFO. And given that, I think the cost may be able to be reduced significantly. I had one report from a member who said that she did follow a suggestion that I had passed on earlier to go ahead and, would somebody out there please try this 10X? We want to see what the result is. And she said she took the recommended number of drops, apparently, which on the bottle is 6 drops for sleeping. She said, boy, it really, really knocked her out. And then she reduced that back all the way down to 1 drop, and that did the trick. So that's just the only evidence I have. But if you are a regular user of CBD oil, be sure to check out that new product that they just developed called 10X Pure Spectrum. Now, finally, also reported in the holiday survey was a number of individuals, and I suspect that's a number of you who are a part of our Parkinson's recovery community, have been reported that the light therapy, or more specifically photobiomodulation, as has been developed and invented by a company called Violite, V-I-E-L-I-G-H-T. I've got quite a bit of material on the blog because of the popularity of that. Looks like quite a few people are finding that's been useful to be able to provide some sustained relief from symptoms. It's the kind of thing you do one time a day, only 20 minutes, so it's pretty non-invasive to be sure. Now, the announcement that I want to give about the Violite is that I have been talking to the company, which is located in Toronto, Canada, now for a number of months. They have developed a new light therapy or photobiomodulation device called the X+. It's not yet listed on their website, but it sounds to me like, and I don't know whether this is actually accurate or not, it's specifically targeted to the part of the brain that tends to be suspect in creating these neurological challenges. And I think the inventor, Dr. Lim, was inspired by the fact that a number of individuals with Parkinson's symptoms has found that what he had already invented, the gamma neuro is what it's called, has been so well received. Now, I want to make clear to everyone that it sounds like about 10% of the people who purchased this original Violite photobiomodulation neurogamma device wound up returning it, about 10%. In other words, I don't know how many have actually purchased this in total. The company told me several weeks ago, I think there were about 62 individuals, so about 6 people or so have returned it. So I just don't want to say beware that we don't have any evidence that it's going to help everybody, and nor would I expect that to be the case, but apparently it's helping quite a few. So the good news is that this new device, first of all, can be used in conjunction if you've already purchased the other one. But second of all, it can also be used independently by itself. They're doing a study with that new device at the University of California in San Francisco as I speak, and I think they've got some preliminary results that I hope to learn more about. I hope to interview the inventor when they actually announce the release of this product, which should be coming up here in just a week or two. Now, the other good news is that the device, according to their initial report to me, again, it's not listed yet, but apparently the cost of that is going to be about half of what the other device was, so maybe around $700. And I think they're going to also be willing to give Parkinson's Recovery members and members of our community the 10% discount that they've been giving previously. So the cost is turning out to be much more manageable. And I think they, I don't have this confirmed, but I think they are also gladly extending the guarantee or the warranty of 80% of the full price if the device is found not to be useful and can be returned within 6 months, which is a wonderful offer. So I think it's worth something to look at, investigate, see if you're called out to explore that or not. Now, I want to make sure everyone also knows that we have some rather interesting and varied meditations on your member website here over the last several weeks. I've got some presentations and explanations of family entanglement, so if you have any kind of a hunch or suspicion that there may be some reason why you have the condition you have because of some other family member for whatever reason, then be sure to listen to my explanations of the dynamics of what is involved. They are very powerful dynamics, and it can be a reason that is holding back your success with your recovery program. I've also got a set of meditations that I posted last week that actually have to do with something that calls out to me, which is denial. So we all get into denial about one thing or another, and to be honest with you, it's one of my big deals. I really love denial. So you can face the facts and you think, well, I'm not going to pay attention to that. Well, denial is something we need to just acknowledge, that it's a part of what we all do. And so meditations, again, the weekly meditation is the longer meditation that's around 30 minutes every week. And then there are the daily meditations Monday through Friday, the shorter ones that are only 2 or 3 minutes. So the idea is you don't spend a whole lot of time in being able to sink into the topics of the week, especially when you're listening to the daily meditation. And then today and this week, we have meditations on the important topic of focus. So I know it's the case that a number of individuals that are confronted with these neurological challenges find that focus is a real challenge, and there's a lot of reasons for that. One of the reasons is that we've now identified so many natural therapies that are helping one person or another. It's hard to focus on which one or how should you proceed? What's the best choices for you? Even if a person is extremely wealthy, the fact is you don't have enough energy to pursue them all. And, of course, most of us are certainly not in that category, and we've got to make very judicious choices about what we expend our resources on. So focus is an issue, and what you're going to find is some meditations that will enable you to be able to do just that, to be able to have some focus and take the kind of action that you need to take in order to be able to get sustained relief from whatever symptoms you experience. I now want to move. That's the summary of what we've been doing here at Parkinson's Recovery during the month of January. I now want to move to read the questions that have been submitted through emails. And I want to provide the answers that I've been able to prepare in advance. First question says, you described the best delivery system for magnesium for the last session. And just as a reminder, it felt like if you were talking about a lot of restriction in your body, a lot of tightness, you can actually get a magnesium lotion and apply that directly to the skin. Instead of thinking of magnesium as some sort of a supplement that you take by mouth, you can actually deliver it through the skin. And I think that can be a much more effective delivery system, especially when you've got some very restrictions in a localized places in your body. So if your right arm is restricted, you can apply the magnesium oil on your right arm. Now the question continues. What I would like to know is the best type of magnesium for Parkinson's. Types I know of are, and here's the list, oxide, citrate, sulfate, chloride, glycyrrhizide, and hydroxide. So when I received that question, I thought to myself, oh my goodness, I'm going to have to refer this question to the expert. And in my book of experts, and when it comes to these kinds of questions, is Ross Pelton, who is the compounding pharmacist. Ross has been a wonderful mentor to me. and is an expert in these kinds of questions. So here's Robert's answer for you. What Ross says is the following. Magnesium glycinate is good, but the form that I recommend and take personally is magnesium L-threonate. It gets better absorption into the brain. So I want to spell that for you. It's magnesium, and then it's the letter L as in a Larry, and then there's a dash. And then there is the word threonate, and that's spelled T-H-R-E-O-N-A-T-E. Ross is on the editorial board of Life Extension, and he reports that Life Extension does sell that particular form of magnesium. Next question. Have you heard anything about the herb ashitaba? And that's A-S-H-I-T-A-B-A. It is supposed to reduce the severity of Parkinson's symptoms. So my first response is I have interviewed several herbalists who have listed a surprisingly large number of herbs that for one reason or another reported to address some of the symptoms that are associated with the diagnosis of Parkinson's disease. Now, I have to report to you that this particular herb is not one that has been listed in the interviews that I have done. Don't get me wrong, I'm not suggesting that then that means that it can't be helpful. My guess is it is very specifically helpful for some symptoms. So keep in mind, these herbs are typically addressed for certain very specific symptoms. And so whether this one can help you or not, the jury obviously is out. I do want to report that because there have been so many of these herbs that have been recommended in the interviews that I've done, there's a wonderful interview that I did with an herbalist in Lexington, Kentucky. His name is Andrew Bentley, who actually harvests the herbs that he provides to his patients in the wild. And Andrew was explaining to me that the herbs that are harvested in the wild, as he goes out in the woods and actually picks them himself, are the ones that have the high potency. The ones that are commercially made have very low, and in some cases not even potency that is worth even considering. So I thought he was a really wonderful expert, and he provided a number of different suggestions on the kind of herbs that can provide relief. So let me be clear. What I'm saying is just because you've got the name of an herb, it makes a big difference where you're actually getting it from. Now, Andrew mentioned valerian, V-A-L-E-R-I-A-N, as an herb that he would recommend could address some symptoms of Parkinson's. That was about 10 years ago that I aired that interview and published it in Pioneers of Recovery. It helps issues of sleep, anxiety, and nervousness. Now, that should resonate with certainly some of you. What I want to say in terms of mentioning that as a possibility is that in this survey of 2018 in the winter time, in holiday season, when I asked people what kind of therapies are really helping you, valerian was mentioned by several people. So that's a good news that, in fact, I think that's perhaps one among many other herbs that you might want to consider exploring. Next question. Do you have any experience with people with Parkinson's symptoms being helped by True, T-R-U-N-I-A-G-E-N? Would it be useful in addition to other medications, for instance, Sinemet? Well, when it comes to questions about medications, remember, I'm not a medical doctor. I've got to be really very careful. I can do research on that kind of thing, but in terms of making recommendations on whether you should take additional supplements along with your medicines, you really need to check with your medical doctor. Now, this particular product, it's called True Niagen, is basically a special formulation of NAD. And yes, that particular supplement can provide a boost to the mitochondria and can provide some extra support. I don't have any specific reports from members of my audience on using that particular supplement. I can report that if the interest is in being able to get a boost of your mitochondria and your energy, that you might want to listen to the interview that I conducted with Dr. Richard Brown, a New York medical doctor who is pretty much one of these medical professionals who is a doctor's doctor. He teaches doctors what kind of things they can do to help their patients. And in that interview with Dr. Brown that I conducted a number of years ago, he recommended for the problems of low energy a supplement called SAM-E, S-A-M-E. So that's one that you could also consider. And again, you can also just take an NADH directly. The one that's provided by this company has apparently got some kind of extra boost to it. And then there are some other questions here. Also encountered AIT therapy while reading Dr. Lisa Rankin's blog. She has found it to be very helpful. It sounded like a different type of tapping. I watched the YouTube demonstrations and it hit raw pain. Very upsetting, but obviously something there that needs to be healing. So let me just explain what this is about. This particular professional is one who does what is called energy psychology. There's a whole association. It's called ACEP. It is the Association for Energy Psychologists. Most people think of psychologists who talk. They ask their clients questions, and they go through a whole session where they're just talking back and forth. Energy psychologists emerged about 10 years ago. I interviewed one of the pioneers of energy psychology on the Parkinson's Recovery Radio Show about 10 years ago. His name is Stephen Fenwick, and he provided a wonderful overview of how energy psychology is practiced. What they do in large part is use muscle testing to identify the sources of blockages and roadblocks and restrictions that are causing difficulty with recovery. It's a wonderful field, and it's well worth one to pursue. And yes, they do tapping oftentimes, but there are a number of other sort of techniques that they also use. Tapping can be used for the release of these kinds of blockages as well. So if you search on ACEP, or if you type in Association for Energy Psychology, you'll see information about this for those of you also that might be interested in this as a potential therapy for you. And you'll see, I think, a listing of the individuals who are certified practitioners. So these are psychologist PhD types who are practicing psychology in a non-conventional way. When I interviewed Dr. Fenwick about 10 years ago, I asked him how many of these individuals were certified as energy psychologists. He said he thought there was about 100, so not very many. But now that we have 10 years later, there are quite a few who moved into that particular field. And then the question goes on to say, I'm thinking tapping might help to be able to release some of the anxieties that I have. And the answer, that's right. There are all sorts of different kinds of tapping approaches that can really help. You might want to also consider a tapping therapy that psychologists and mental health counselors also use with their patients with good success. It's called EMDR, and it's a tapping kind of a therapy that helps to release a lot of these kinds of stresses that are aggravating the symptoms. And then there's some other kind of questions there that we can obviously respond to on an individual basis. There is and also a question here, are there any natural supplements that could be taken to calm one's nerves? Now, that's a great question. The herbal tea, I guess, that you're taking helps some, but not all the time, and leaves a strange taste in my mouth. I would suggest essential oils as something to seriously consider as a possibility. Essential oils, especially high quality, can have a really wonderful calming effect. I would not suggest that anyone purchase essential oils from a box store or one of these large pharmacy outlets. I think you really need to go to a professional and get high-quality oils, else you're not going to really get much relief at all from whatever symptoms you are using them to address. They can be used for better sleep, for reducing stress, for addressing anxiety, for getting you into a better place. The person I've interviewed on the radio show that I think is a marvelous resource is Jean Oswald. She provides consultations at a very minimal cost and sells essential oils that have very high quality. So what I suggest to people, if they're interested in getting some relief from the stresses of life, is make a short call to Jean, sign up for a consultation, get her suggestions on what kind of recommendations she might make for oils that will address whatever symptoms you are experiencing. Now, a second recommendation I've got, you are suggesting, well, you can't really swallow these kinds of herbal teas and other kinds of supplements. So the oils are one possibility. That's a topical application. Another recommendation for addressing these kinds of issues for you would be something called holosync, H-O-L-O-S-Y-N-C, holosync. And it's sounds that you hear. You get headphones on the right and left ear. And it can, over time, it can really reduce the reactions that we get that provoke all sorts of anxiety. The website that provides information about that is titled CenterPoint, CenterPoint, and then there's also an E on that, .com. Now, that concludes my reading of the questions that I received in my email that were submitted. Before I check in with those of you who called in, let me read here what is in the chat room page and respond. This is from Julie. Finally got connected to K only to find out that the neuro doctor retired a few weeks ago. Oh, I think Julie's in search of finding a doctor that can support her recovery. The on-call doctor has never heard of people having the difficulties I have experienced with the generic. He thought the options within the CenterMed would be fine. And she does apparently have a schedule of 219, which is great. So there may be for some of you some issues with taking the regular generic medications, and Julie is exploring ways to get compounding pharmacy to formulate a CenterMed kind of a medication that might not have some of the red dyes or green dyes or yellow dyes or whatever kind of dyes that they put into the generic form of the medicines that might be creating some side effects for her. Well, thank you, Julie, for that report. That's absolutely wonderful. And now let me go to the callers who've called in. And again, as is the custom here in our support group gathering, just to mention, imagine that we're all physically here in the same place, although, of course, people come from all over the countries of the world. And we just want to go around the room and check in and say hello. Anything up that you'd like to talk about, any questions, any topics that you want to discuss. And again, if we connect in with you and you're here just to kind of listen, take in what others might have to say or contribute, then just let us know and we'll go on to the next person. So let me first check in here with Andrew from Houston and say hello. I just kind of opened up your line to say hello and want to say what's up with you and hello.
Can you hear me? How you doing?
Yes, I can. Hi. Doing well, thanks.
I hate to tell the rest of the country what the temperature likes in Houston, but it's pretty favorable.
Ah, so great.
Sunshine is 65 degrees. So.
Whoa, that sounds wonderful.
But no, I appreciate you guys doing this and providing information. It's a great forum, and I've enjoyed listening to all the calls. I've been diagnosed with Parkinson's for 3 years and just started taking CenterMed on November 6th. I tried like I could, but I started to deteriorate. But I'm only taking two a day, taking a very low dose, and I didn't get approval from my neurologist because it'd be a waste of my time, but. Anyway, appreciate what you guys are doing. I will say that you talked about the tapping. I think that's really important. I think there's probably a lot of deep-seated emotions within that we have, and using the tapping. I personally use EFT, emotional freedom technique, but that I think it's a great resource. And Robert, you got it right when you can go back and release those trapped emotions. I think you can really make some headway, but. Otherwise, I'll sit back, listen, and I can answer any questions. I'd be happy to.
Oh, wonderful, Andrew. Well, thank you. So EFT has been a really successful therapy for you, and it sounds like I do sometimes. You do it yourself. You don't actually go to another therapist to get the EFT.
You know, I do go to an EFT therapist, but it is just as easy to, and I do a lot by myself. It's just as easy, but if you go to this website, Gary Craig, I think, Robert, I don't know if that rings a bell. He's from California. He's kind of considered the father of the emotional freedom technique.
Right.
He's got a website out called EmoFree, EmoFree.com. But he just gives it away. He gives it away for free, all the information, how to do the tapping and there, et cetera. But you certainly can get an EFT. I don't know if there's one portal where you can go to and get an EFT coach, but I think they're pretty much more common than they were 10 years ago.
Oh, Andrew, I think so too. It's really blossomed as a therapy that many people find to be helpful. It's relatively straightforward to use, and so it's like you've just described. You can get some help from a coach or a qualified professional, or you can just do it yourself over the course of the week when you're feeling kind of out of sorts. It's a wonderful technique that really does work.
Yeah, I would encourage all your listeners to learn it. It doesn't hurt. And just like you said, it's there's no cost to it. So Gary Craig is the father of EFT, and he called it 10, 15 years ago when it was coming into its popularity, a healing high rise. I don't know if it's reached those kind of statuses, but it's gone pretty far. And there's, again, a lot of emotional freedom technique coaches out there. And but highly recommend you give it a look, emofree.com. I think everybody would be very impressed with the amount of good content they have on the website.
Awesome. Thank you so much for that recommendation. I know you're going to have a lot of people who are going to be visiting that website, and if they don't do it now, they're going to learn how to do EFT for themselves.
Absolutely. It can be done.
Thank you, Andrew, for being here today at our January Parkinson's Recovery Support Group Gathering. Now I want to check in with Bill. Hello. How are you?
Hey, Robert. How are you?
Pretty well, thanks. So what's up?
Nothing much. I've just been reminding myself lately that there are small setbacks that are sort of inevitable. That, you know, when you're making or trying to make progress, you can't expect, you know, a total upward line, that there are always steps back, and you just have to persevere through those. So
right.
I think that's been most people's experience. I think it's kind of unusual to find people who just suddenly get better and stay better. But I think it's a up and down kind of thing.
Boy, Bill, that's been my observation too, because I've talked with so many people, and that's exactly right. And of course, it's a bit challenging because you're making some progress, you're taking some actions, you're getting some therapies that are useful, and all of a sudden you begin to feel worse. And you think, oh, no.
Yeah.
And then, of course, then the thought forms come in. Oh, no, okay, I was just deceiving myself. And then you begin to
right.
have all of these thoughts of worry and concern that it's never going to happen for you. And yet that's the way the whole process works. And what I really love to think when that happens to me, when I'm somehow challenged with the symptom and it feels like it's getting worse, what I like to think is the following. If I'm doing the therapies that are really supporting my body, for instance, let's say that the difficulty is I've got some toxins in there that need to get out. The reality is that when the body really gets serious about eliminating the toxins, I'm going to start to feel pretty gosh darn crummy. I'm going to get tired and exhausted and fluid. I may even have to stay in bed all day long. I mean, I'm going to really be awful. So I always like to think if I'm doing a therapy that's really supporting my body's ability to heal from the inside out and I'm beginning to feel worse, then what I say to myself is, yay, it's working. it's working. And, of course, not in 100% of the cases is that the case, but I think in many more cases than not it is. And so we've all been acclimated to expect that if we're going to do any therapy, we're going to feel better. And what I learned a number of years ago is when I started to be able to receive a lot of these energy healings, what I began to learn is I go to one healing from these wonderful practitioners, and boy, the next day I would feel so great. I would feel wonderful, and I thought, whoa, this is worth it. I'd go back the next week for a follow-up healing, and then the next day, I mean, I would crash. I would feel absolutely awful. Terrible emotions, physical problems, all sorts of difficulties. And what I began to realize is, whoa, well, the second healing was actually much more profound than the first. In the first one, I felt great, good. But the second one, I was beginning to get down into the core of what I needed to really release, whether it was emotional issues or physical kinds of problems. So I'm just kind of talking here, roundabout here, Bill, suggesting that I think the problem for me is always I have to challenge all of those thoughts that come in when I've hit the roadblocks, when the recovery gets a bit hung up. And that's the thought that I always bring in to play. The thought is always, well, yeah, I am really feeling lousy right now, but that's going to have to happen before I really get better. And that thought really does help.
Right. Yeah, I appreciate what you're saying. It's in my case, I think you just have to have confidence in your approach long term, and just persevere with it, and not let day to day things get in your way.
That's right. And of course, we have lots of stresses in the world these days, so we don't know what's going to happen in any one day, but it can be a horrible stress that will just in itself create a lot of difficulty and a lot of challenges. And so it's a struggle these days to be able to go from day to day. We never know what's coming up. But yeah, I think sticking with it is really what it's all about. And one of the many, 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 many hundreds of interviews I've had with individuals, one stood out of an individual who reported that he had changed his diet, he had cleaned up his exercise program, and he went through this long list of things that he was doing. And when I said, well, was it all helping? And he said, yeah, he was feeling a little bit better. His symptoms weren't totally reversed, but he did notice some improvement. But then what he said, which has always stuck with me, he said, well, it's been 6 months. I'm tired of living and feeling like a monk. A monk was the word that he used. He said, so I thought, well, screw it. I'm just going to go back and eat what I want to eat. And I thought, well, I really can resonate with that frustration when you stick with something for so long. You know, 6 months is a while, and you don't find that you have this sizable improvement. But I think, as you've just described, well, the key is to say, look, it may take some time here, but I'm just going to stick with it, and I'm not giving up. And that's what will ultimately lead to a sustained ability to heal from the inside out.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, you just have to realize it's a long-term proposition. This is not something that's going to happen overnight.
No. And you even go back and you look through history, Bill, and we ask, okay, what about the people who were formidable successes in life? You take, for example, people who were presidents. A lot of them had failed campaigns. You know, they went up for election and they were turned down, and yet they stuck with it. They kept putting their head into the hopper, so to speak, and kept saying, look, here I am, and finally they won. So it's kind of like, stick with it. The key in the sense of being able to have long-term success is persistence.
Right. And people, I've heard several people say, you learn more from your failures than you do from your success, and I think that applies in your circumstances.
It does, doesn't it? I've heard many people say that, and some of the people who are the most successful for whatever dimension we might want to rate success on, we'll say the very same thing. They said, well, you look at me and you think, well, I've always been successful. And then they'll tell the story of how they were broke or how they were sick or ill or, you know, whatever the dimension might be of their success. And finally they figured it out. And now they're really, you know, good to go, so to speak. So it seems like, yeah, it seems like in some of the interviews I've done, people will report that they've had a lot of struggles, a lot of challenges as they've had these neurological difficulties. But what they'll then say is, you know, I've learned so much from being able to deal with all of this that I feel like the last 10 years of my life that I've confronted these symptoms have been the best of my entire life. It's like I feel like I've grown more and I've lived a better life than I have ever lived. So it's a blessing for many people, and that's what they'll report. Yeah, they're problematic symptoms, but there's a lot of learning and growth and wisdom that comes from having to deal with all of this.
Yes, I agree.
Well, thank you so much for being here today at our support group meeting, Bill. It's great to connect.
All right. Well, thank you, Robert, for all your good work.
You're very welcome indeed. And now let me check in. And is this Thomas Carroll, or that's the one that in Burbank, California? Hello.
Oh, it's Julie, Robert.
Julie, of course. I should have realized that. Burbank is
right next to the
hospital. Hello, Julie. So what's up with you today?
Well, I tell you, I was the one that called in about getting the appointment with the neurologist. I'm a little sorry they hadn't told me, but I made several calls last week trying to make the pharmacy connection for the compound pharmacist.
Yeah.
So at any rate, it did really upset me because, you know, he basically said nobody else has had the problem, which I don't think is true. So I was glad to hear your positive spin on it, but I need to get some help for the way I'm feeling, and I don't know if it's the 19th. Well, they said I could call every day and see if there was a cancellation, but I'm having trouble accepting that. So I'm trying to listen to what you're saying and just put a positive spin on it and figure I'll get the information when I need it. But in the meantime, I can't do anything with the compound pharmacy until I get somebody to prescribe it from the
you do
medical.
Need a prescription. Yeah, for them.
Yeah,
well, I can't imagine your neurologist wouldn't be happy to do a prescription to be sent to anywhere that would fill it. So I can't imagine that would be an issue at all, Julie. And I think what you are searching for is the compounding pharmacy that can formulate the medication that's the same as the sentiment, is that right? That's what you're trying to get?
Yes.
Without
the dyes and
without the dyes and all the other kind of additives. And I mean, it sounds like, well, that's a great idea. And the question I've always had about medicines of all kinds is, where are they manufactured? It's like, where do they come from? And there's never any real indication of the origin of any of these, or they don't have any requirement to include what's in the medicine. So in the capsules that they make or in the kind of coloring that they give, I mean, what kind of additives are in there? So it's possible, it seems to me, that some people may be having difficulty with the side effects of these medications, not because of the medicine itself necessarily, but also because there may be some additives in there. So getting a compounding pharmacy to make a pure kind of a medicine may be a really smart move.
Well, I think so, too. And if they still have the 5% isn't the actual prescription, but the compound pharmacist said that they put pine needles in it, and that's what they should usually. People aren't allergic to that. So I hope this happens. But my next question is, why can't they just make it all 100% the carbidopa levodopa? But I haven't asked that yet. But anyway, the whole thing is a concern, and I don't know what the new doctor will be like, whether she or he will be more open to alternatives. I don't know.
Keep in mind, Julie, that when you make an appointment with a medical doctor, in particular a neurologist, the specialty is in writing scripts for medications.
Yes,
that's
right.
Their specialty. And so you're not going there to learn more about all these many other natural options. That's not what they do. That's not the option that you're taking advantage of. So what they can do is they can write you a script for the medicines. And they might have recommendations for other kind of things you could do that would involve medications. But don't expect that they'll be able to provide any other support. I always think of the neurologist as an option that, of course, some people find is just really useful. It's one among many other options. And right now, I think you're finding you're getting some, or at least you're suspecting you're getting some relief from that medicine, but the problem is you're worried that there may be some difficulty with the additives. So you want to get a more pure form to see if that's going to help.
Yeah, the shortness of breath really does take a lot out of me that I have every time I take the medication. So
Right, Julie. So what people might be interested in is that you seem to be okay, and then as I understand it, you take the medicine, and then shortly thereafter, you have these kind of debilitating reactions, right?
Yes, absolutely. It's like it's within a couple of minutes.
So what in the world is, you know, what in the world is going on? So I think the next step that you're taking here sounds to me like it's really smart, is to say, okay, well, maybe there's not just the medicine itself, maybe there's some kind of an additive in there. And the reality is some people are so, so sensitive that, and I think that's a case for you, that there could be a very small quantity of some kind of a dye, let's say red dye number 3 or yellow dye number, or you list the number, and maybe that your body just can't tolerate any of that. And so maybe just changing to see if you can get a pure form, if that might not make a difference. And you'll know, obviously, you'll know after you start taking the new compounding formulation if that's going to help or not.
Yes, okay, well, that's encouraging. Well, I'll just have to try for the cancellation and see where I get, but I thank you for your support and that, all of this stuff, because I kind of feel like you're out there on your own, and it's, I'm not a doctor.
Right. Well, I'm happy to be here for you, Julie, so let me know what I can do, okay?
Mm-hmm. Well, one thing, do you put these notes on the website afterwards, the spelling of, I'm just not quite myself, but the spelling
yes,
of different people,
no.
That'll be the...
Okay. Yes, and for everybody else listening, that's right. So after every support group gathering, I write down the notes that we covered. And if there are certain mm-hmm. website addresses or whatever that I listed when I talked here earlier, we'll put those in the notes. So you don't have to take any notes of anything we've covered. And I'll mention what topics we've covered, what subjects we've covered, so people will have an idea of what the content is on these sessions. And then on the support group page for everybody, please know that if you look at the top of the page, we've got the replays of the support group gatherings for the last 2 or 3 years. And just because a support group gathering might have convened 2 years ago doesn't mean that what was discussed won't be particularly useful or helpful to you. I mean, some folks that call in have these wonderful suggestions, just marvelous suggestions. And so sometimes just sitting and spending a little time listening to those previous support group sessions in previous months can really enlighten you with all sorts of wonderful ideas. So just want to clarify, you'll be receiving an email later in the day, if not tomorrow, and you'll have the link to the replay of this support group gathering. And then I'll jot down the topics that we discussed and any websites that we referred everybody to.
Thank you so much, Robert. You are a very good person, and I think we all appreciate you.
You're welcome, Julie, and thank you so much for calling in. And now let me check in with Lynn. Hello, Lynn, are you there?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, we sure can indeed. So what's up with you?
Oh, I started a new online process to help with emotional cellular memory in case that's what's causing my problems. It's called the Journey Method by Brandon Bays. I don't know if you've heard of that.
Sounds interesting. Journey Method.
Brandon Bays,
B-A-Y-S. And then B-A-Y-E-S?
B-A-Y-S. And she had a tumor the size of a basketball in her stomach. In 6 weeks, she healed it using spiritual, emotional, and physical methods.
Right.
And so it's a relatively, I think, for what you get, they have an online program, so you don't have to travel anywhere, that they just started. And they lead you through these meditations to find your beliefs that are causing the illness, unconscious beliefs. And then they help you deal with the emotions, and then they call it Source, their name for the spiritual aspect. She uses Source, and she has these beautiful meditations like I've never heard before, where she gets this really, really soft voice, and you can tell she's connected to Source or God or whatever you want to call it. It's just beautiful.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. And tell me the name of this program again, Journey?
The Journey Method.
The Journey, what was that?
She's out of England. Like, I just did a session trade from someone from Prague, so people from all over the world are doing this.
Yes, of course. So I didn't get the second name, Journey.
let me see, it's called, her book is called The Journey. And it's
The Journey. Okay,
yeah.
Great. So those of you, obviously we'll put that in the notes so everybody can see that. Sounds like that's a marvelous, marvelous resource.
Yeah, and they even have little CDs that you could do it on your own, though I find doing it with people is good. And I'm really surprised by some of the stuff that comes up that I didn't even think were still an issue, stuff I thought I had worked through long ago, like my son's murder keeps coming up.
Oh, yeah, of course. And that's coming up to be released and cleared.
Yeah, and I've worked so hard on that, and maybe it is what's causing these symptoms. You've talked about what's underneath the tremors, and that's
right.
What I've been working on trying to get in touch with.
Oh, Lynn, that sounds wonderful. Yeah, that's actually why I decided to do the course Shutdown Anxiety, and that the purpose of that is to get down to the core of what's really driving all of this. And as you just described, it has a lot to do with these unconscious processes and energies that are embedded in the cellular. And, of course, the real challenge is it's not conscious. So we're not aware of what's really going on. So we kind of have to have different access points to be able to clear all of that. And I think what you've described is exactly right. A lot of people feel like the route to being able to get well involves perhaps medicines or supplements or just exercise in itself. But when these kind of dynamics are present, when the past traumas continue to be embedded, then the prospects of full recovery are going to be minimized. That has to be cleared in order to be able to get well. That's why I want to remind everybody that I mentioned earlier, there is a whole presentation and explanation of family entanglements on the member websites that I posted about 2 or 3 weeks ago.
I'll have to look at that.
Be sure to check that.
Saw a CD I have of hers called The Power of Vows. So she talks about vows. Like if you had an experience where something bad happened and you make a side about, I'm never going to do A, B, C, D again. You made
cool.
A vow.
Yeah,
vow,
yeah.
Unconscious, and that can be put on the cellular memory as well.
Oh, wonderful. She's got some great ideas. So
yeah, and then I just got people, this one man I've had sessions in the cranial sacral releasing. And he's given me free sessions, and he thinks that none of the medical interventions are going to be the answer for me in particular. Because I'm like that other woman you just talked to. Any medication, even one pill, I get really, really sick.
So that's not going to be the option that's going to work for you for sure. You already know that.
I guess I tried so many medications, I'm scared to try anything else. I've got one here, gabapentin.
Yeah.
I'm afraid. I haven't tried it.
So your gut is telling you don't do it.
Yeah.
that's good enough for me. I'd say no. Time to throw that in the trash and try something else. Yeah. You know, Lynn, I get so many questions. And people, the questions always kind of have the same template. So what do you recommend for Parkinson's to fix this problem? And they'll give me a symptom, you know. And, of course, what I know is I can respond on more of a physical level and provide a suggestion here or there. But what I also know is, well, what's underneath that? What's driving that? And there are a lot of different dimensions that can be present, and a lot of them are these unconscious kind of dynamics that need to be cleared. So once that's done, then finally the person is in a position to get well.
Well, and something that was interesting, another memory that came up was sexual in origin that I thought I had resolved a long time ago, something in my mid-20s. And then I went to my therapist and we did the family constellation work where there had been some sexual abuse with my great-great-grandmother and her father.
Oh.
So we did the family constellation work to clear out that because I just had a strong sense that there was a connection there with that.
Oh, good. And does it feel like that's cleared now?
Yeah, it does. That particular thing. All the stuff with
Lynn,
coming up.
Congratulations, Lynn. That's wonderful work.
Yeah,
wonderful.
It's hard. I'm still sick, but I just did a survey from Rush, and that was done about 3-4 months ago, and I'm a lot better.
There you go. See, you're doing everything right. and you're getting better.
I'm
so you need to
really, really hard. You would believe. Yeah. Well, I think you know how hard I'm trying.
I, if anybody knows, I know. And so you need to celebrate that today, the fact that you're getting better, and even more so, you know. We don't really realize that we're getting better. We're not tracking that closely or that carefully. And so it's nice to be able to have an external resource that can tell you, look, we just tracked this for you, and you're a whole lot better than you were last time you came.
Well, I wrote that I was in constant pain from the tremor in the right hip groin and the osteoarthritis in the right hip, and it's not constant anymore.
There you go. See, that's huge. That's huge.
Yeah.
To be out of constant pain. I mean, that's a huge step. There's no doubt about it.
So I'm excited. I'm hopeful. I went through a brief period of being kind of losing a little hope, but then it's back. So that's good.
Oh, goodness. What I also just want to mention, I thought about this the last time we talked because you made reference to the Rush Medical Center. Well, that actually is named after one of my ancestors.
You told me that in an email. That's great.
Yeah, Benjamin
named
Rush
after
is one
them?
Of my ancestors. And Benjamin Rush is a person way back in the 1700s. And I suddenly realized when you think about the influences that ancestors have on what happens in your life, he very much was a person who thought outside the box in terms of medical treatments. He was not your traditional medical person. So back when he practiced, of course, you may be familiar with the story of George Washington, who they basically bled to death when that's the reason he died. Well, that wasn't the kind of medicine that Benjamin Rush practiced. Particularly during the early formation of the United States, there was an outbreak of scarlet fever that was killing many, many people. And Benjamin Rush decided that the remedy should be to take some of the scarlet infection and put it into a person who was healthy. So he actually treated John Adams' family, his wife and his children. And he took a person that had the scarlet fever and had died of scarlet fever, and he just extracted some of the infection, the actual live infection, and
just like
convinced,
homeopathy, yeah.
Yeah, it was homeopathy way back then. And he said, okay, I think this might be something that'll work. And, of course, talking about a courageous act, because here this was John Adams' wife and family, and yet he said, look, I think there's a chance that at least one of the members of your family, one of your children or you are going to die, because that was the case. About a third of the population was dying. So he said, this is the idea I've got. Do you want to try it? There was no evidence that it worked. So I thought that's pretty amazing. And, of course, when I thought about it, I thought, well, that's really my approach, too. It's like, well, we don't really have a whole lot of evidence, but it logically this seems like it should help. And why don't we go ahead and give it a try? So I thought, well, we're all influenced by the people who are our ancestors. Everyone is.
Well, that's interesting because even the Rush Hospital in Chicago, they're actually open to alternatives, unlike any other hospital I've been to or any other center around here.
Which is a function of
Rush.
Who he was as a person. That's who he was. See,
yeah,
he,
that's
he
my figure. So maybe his ancestry is having an effect on the energy of the Rush Hospital.
Oh, there's no question about it. And what I'm saying too, Lynn, is that happens to all of us in terms of our family systems. And so one of the kinds of wonderful discoveries that people can pursue in their life is to stop and say, wait a minute, I think I need to learn more about my own family history. Who was my grandmother? Who was my grandfather? What about my great-grandfather and great-mother? And just keep going back. And what you're going to discover when you begin to do that work is there are themes that are repeated over and over and over again. Same theme. Same kind of philosophy. And so those kinds of energies get passed on generation after generation. And, of course, the other reason why family entanglements can have such a profound impact is if there is an energy in a family system that hasn't been cleared, it will be passed on generation after generation.
Yeah.
No doubt about it.
Well, I know that from my work with that family constellation. It's crazy.
It's crazy. It's unbelievable. It's powerful. And one of the reasons I decided to get so serious about learning what this was all about and actually learning how to facilitate constellations and doing them for myself is I realized the work is important because it will impact the children and the grandchildren if we don't clear it now. So it's not just important for us. It's important for everybody in the family, both living and dead. So I decided, and the family members that have not even been born yet.
Right.
So it's very important work. And what I think is clearly the case is for people that have been working so long and hard at attempting to get well and doing all the right things, and they still seem to have some difficulty with clearing all of the symptoms. Oftentimes, a good place to look is at these entanglements that may actually be the real reason why they're being held back. And that's exactly the work that you've been doing. So congratulations to you.
Thank you.
So thank you so much for your comments and your suggestions. We will write those into the notes.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Let me look into the chat room. I don't see anything else that was added there for topics that we need to discuss or issues that we need to address. I don't see anything into the questions and answers field. So I think this concludes our gathering for January of 2019. Remember that the next support group gathering is, as is always scheduled, the last Monday in February. And if over the course between now and then, if you have anything that comes up that you'd like for me to be able to investigate, I'm happy to do that as I have done today. So questions about issues. And as you've seen, I get questions I really can't answer because I'm just not enough of an expert, but I should be able to find somebody that I can send your question to get an answer. So if you've got issues or questions that need to be addressed, be sure to send them in and we'll work on them and be sure to provide a response to you at our February support group gathering. We are now announcing the new course, which is Shutdown Anxiety. So if you're interested in that, be sure to connect in and get on board. What I call the early bird tuition is available now, which makes the course very, very affordable. So make sure that you, if you're interested in that, don't wait to sign up since you don't want to pay the little higher tuition cost that's involved. And we're also going to celebrate next month the development of new information about the ketone ester, which we're now developing. So we're going to have new information about how that might be able to provide support for persons with Parkinson's. And finally, the heads-up announcement that I can provide to everybody is that the one question that I've been working on pretty intensely for quite a while has been, what can people do who are at the maximum of taking medicines? They can't take any more medicines. So what kind of ways can they be able to not have to take more medicines or even reduce their medicines? Because, you know, it gets to a limit where the dyskinesias are just way, way too problematic. And I finally developed a set of suggestions and ideas and possibilities for people to consider. So I'm going to be promoting and developing a new course that will offer some of these ways that people might be able then to continue taking medications, getting good results without having to then go to the kind of only next steps that are now available, which is deep brain stimulation surgery or focused ultrasound or some of these other more invasive sorts of therapies. So we've been working on that quite intently here for quite a while, and we're going to announce that course here in due course. But for right now, the new course that we're offering, again, is Shutdown Anxiety. So we look forward to being able to provide support to any of those of you who need some extra support in that particular journey of your own. Well, thanks so much for joining us here in our support group gathering for January. And as you well know, we are airing this support group gathering from the Puget Sound. It's Shores, where all the women are smart, all the men are handsome, and all of the children are truly loved. Know that by virtue of the fact that you are a Parkinson's Recovery member, that you have access to all of the websites, Parkinson's Recovery member websites, that you are focused on being able to find ways to get sustained relief from whatever symptoms you currently experience. Thanks so much for being a part of our community and supporting all of what we do here through Parkinson's Recovery, which is to communicate to the global community of persons experiencing neurological challenges that, yes, indeed, there are many natural therapies that are making a huge difference in supporting the ability of more and more individuals to find sustained relief from whatever symptoms they may currently be experiencing. Thank you so much for being a part of what we're doing here through Parkinson's Recovery. I look forward to connecting with you not one week from today, but next month on the last Monday at 12 noon Pacific time. And be sure to check in with the member websites every day. We update the pages every day to provide an infusion of support and positive energy to support your successful journey down the road to recovery.